Nathan J. from Brooklyn, New York.
Bless this moment, I'm an addict named Nathan in the process of recovery. If you're new, welcome. Wherever you're at in this process, welcome. This program does work and we do recover. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here. Our literature describes this topic in detail, great detail for addicts like me, right? Because I'm one of those addicts that before I picked up the drugs, I suffered from a disease that expressed itself in ways that was antisocial, page 3, basic text, right? And it said it made detection, diagnosis, and treatment difficult, but not impossible. It wasn't until I sat still for a while, got distance from the drugs, right, and the symptoms of the disease began to resurface, right? Because the disease, the symptoms of the disease always resurfaces or continues to progress until desperation, right? I find myself in a meeting, sitting still, feeling sick, wanting to hold on and let go at the same time. But because of the shame, guilt, remorse, embarrassment of all the harm, damage, despair, pain that addicts like me inflicted on so many people. That's why I regularly make me, because so many people, stamps, wig stamps, food, clothes, all things had to go, right? Oneself, page 15. Lies, stole, cheated, degrading oneself in one's own eyes. But most of all. So as I sat still long enough, right, and like, you know, making meetings, right, I come from Brooklyn, right, and I like to thank Ocean City for having me and you people for being here in this moment, right? Because these moments are sacred. This topic is the essence of this program in a nutshell. It is like, and I'm going to start back almost from the top, because in the 12th step, one of the things, like, this topic coincides with for me, right, in my life, my daily life, is it describes how helping others is perhaps the highest aspiration, something addicts like me strive to do, like I live for. And before I picked up the drug, all I wanted to do was be of some value. Some worth, something, not the thing I suffer from. Because the literature talks about in the first step working, God, that's what makes me who I am. That thing, that something. When I want to escape the reality of my life, but in recovery, I'm learning like helping others is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart. And something we've been entrusted with as a result of having a higher power in our lives. Listen, we do well to remember to continue asking the God of our understanding to work through us in our efforts to carry the message. By diligently practicing the principles of this program to the best of our ability, key word practice, right? It helps ensure that our connection with our higher power remains open and our service to others is rooted in spirituality, like unconditional love. It's a 12-step program, and in the 12-step, like all we strive to do at some point, no matter where you're at, who you are, where you come from, how much, how little you have, who your connections are, we don't give a about that. We don't give a how much you use, what or how much you use. First step, page 19, basic text, fifth edition. It's essential. I need to find my identity in this literature, not just by coming up here lip syncing. And if you knew, you need not say a fucking word. You need not say a word. Welcome. We identify. Healing takes place when we get a glimpse of ourselves in the eyes of another. Heal. 12 step, 122, that other one was 121. 122 says, even in silence, the voice of our gratitude does not go unheard. Listen, talking about like 1 to 7 days, just getting clean, loving it, washing the dishes regularly, cleaning out the tub, walking my children to school. Because when I wake up now with 7 days clean and I look in the mirror, I see what's there, not what's missing today. Huh? I can identify with the reflection in the mirror. Page 75, Worktown Wise, 7-step, inviting God, improving my character, describes how we can see this miracle simply looking in the mirror. Able to go to the laundromat and wash and dry the clothes. A lot of times my clothes was just donation. You know, a lot of times my children's clothes was it because I couldn't sit still with it. Bowels would collapse whenever a dollar got in my hand, whether it was like green or paper stamp money, bowels would collapse. A whole chain of events would go on internally, like clockwork. But here I'm talking about with 1 to 7 days, huh? Walking the talk best I can. Making meetings every day. Being convinced, right? In 1 to 7 days, like I'm no longer confused. No one has to convince me at this point that I am what I am. Huh? Page 19, second line. No one can convince us that we are addicts. It is an admission one makes for oneself. When I sat there and the emotional content engulfed me as I listened to them read the literature. Before coming to NA, most of us could not. It didn't say like before coming to NA, you couldn't like get high successfully. It said, Nathan, before coming to NA, you could not manage your own life. Couldn't live and enjoy life as other people do. You had to have something different. You thought you found it in drugs. You put the welfare of that before my wife, my husband, my children, all that. And it's true. Walked it. It's the story that keeps me here. It's the reminder of what can happen if I forget that I don't just suffer from a drug problem. I suffer from a disease with a progressive nature, even during abstinence. What? Listen, I'm ever so, still so grateful. Need not know your clean time, because it doesn't equal recovery. It just signifies abstinence. But nevertheless, by your significance of sitting in this chair beside me, recognizing how far I can go if I stay newcomer just one mother day at a time. One day at a time. We see it happening amongst us every day. This miraculous turnabout. 12 step back there. And by sitting there and identifying how far from people who were here before me as well, how far I can go if I stay through death, disability, and diseases. Blood, sweat, and tears. How far I can go if I just stay one day at a time. Beginning to grasp onto the concept in the second step of hope, because the first step shocked me right out of my self-centeredness. When I begin to acknowledge the aspects of this disease, not the drug that I use, the disease, the obsession, that fixed idea that takes me back time and time again, perhaps to a particular drug, yes, page 86, or some substitute, to recapture the ease and comfort that I want. I'm talking about escaping the reality of one's life. Neglecting to accept personal responsibility for oneself, Nathan. Buying into the concept that it seems like I am incapable of living life on life terms. Then and now, as I get extended distance from the drug, the disease still wants me to entertain the thought that I still can't live and enjoy life as other people do. That I still have to have something different. I'm clear I don't need any mood, mind, altering substance, but I need something else. Something different, something more. I need to be somebody else. Have some stuff I don't. A disease that is signified by my temptation of the desires of not just the obvious symptoms of it, the flesh. Because I oftentimes have these escapades in my mind sexually and take myself outside myself through the delusion that I'm somebody I'm not. Or I'm reliving some things from the past, as in the triangle of self-obsession. No, but for my continued quest for the things that I feel I lost the most in my act of addiction. My identity. So sometimes I want to perpetrate and be somebody I'm not. Sometimes I want to camouflage myself in material things and appear to be confident and attractive on the outside. Page 32, fifth step, basic text. But a shaky covering or camouflaging a shaky insecure on the inside. Nevertheless, grabbing onto the concept as in the second step approach to this process, believing, finding hope in other people's experience, changing my belief system, right? By the evidence around me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, the group, being that power greater than myself, the spiritual principles of which each and every one of us, to the best of our ability, bring to life. Each day, we resist the temptation to act out on the symptoms of the disease, not just the obvious ones, the symptoms of the disease. Like I resisted the temptation to steal off my job today. Love stealing toilet paper. It's amazing, right? Such, you know. And like similarly, the rush I get from getting away with doing something wrong is equivalent to the rush I get using a mood mind altering substance. And the reality being I can be one day up in the rooms talking about how I lost this good job because of toilet paper. I'm not here to entertain. Free myself. I need you. I don't need you. I just need to like expose who I am to myself. Because check it out. A program essentially, right? Being good to oneself involves the process of saying, listen, this program, if practiced to the best of your ability, Nathan, will help reintroduce you to the person you never knew all your life. Huh? Reveal to you the person you can be. Or you were designed to be all your life. Page 103, Works Out Why. Tim Step talks about how, like, where once we went from one extreme to the next, page 102 to 103, it says, now we find the middle ground where our true selves can flourish. Next paragraph. We begin to see ourselves as we really are, accepting our good qualities along with our defects, knowing we can change with the help of a higher power, we are becoming what we were meant to be all along. Nothing mythical, nothing like, you know, magical, nothing like superficial, whole human beings. Whole human beings. Like it is such a blessing, such an honor, right? When my children call me just to say goodnight and I can answer the phone. I can call them and let them know when I can't make it. Show up to school for them. Right? Yeah. I'm the one that the teachers call today. You know, Mother's there, but they call me because I'm so eager to come. So eager to participate. 12th step, page 117, talks about this. I'm talking about you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. The spiritual awakening, not what it talks about in the basic text. It says how we begin to be able to step outside of ourselves and to fully participate in life. The way this looks to others is astounding. Because ordinary people don't just understand that shit. It happened too fast. Like, what went down? Like, I can't fully believe that you fucking changed, Nathan. That you're becoming that guy. Neither can I. But nevertheless, because oftentimes it is often, mystified to me to like do the right thing in the face of the wrong. Because check it out, as an addict, I'm still susceptible to the same symptoms of this disease that made me pick up drugs in the first place. Listen, page 4, basic text says, and one of the aspects of our disease is my inability to deal with life on life terms. I use drugs and a combination of drugs to deal with what I thought a hostile environment, world. I dreamed of finding a magic formula that would solve my ultimate problem. I couldn't put it together. I couldn't connect the dots before I picked up the drugs. I thought it was socially acceptable to use, to suffer, to steal, to lie, to get over, to get by. I would allow myself to be conditioned by my environment, by television, by the media, by the circumstances of my life. I looked for things that was wrong to justify and rationalize, fourth month, fourth step, right? To invent a person. To impersonate myself. How about that stuff? Who can make this up? This is us. Huh? Yo, but this is what makes us, page 10, basic text, a special group of people. What? Because we suffered. And now we come here, the essence of this topic, to freely share with you, newcomer. If it worked for me, it could work for you. Set aside all this stuff, man. Look at me for who I am. I am you. Age, race, creed, religion, we don't care about that. If we was, you know, we would all share the same lighter, right? Don't matter, huh? We would share the same bottle, right? It don't matter. It don't matter. Those of us that have been here for 7 days, no. It don't matter. I identify with you being here that, like, you, like me, almost killed yourself. You, at one point in your life, Nathan, you and people like you were slowly committing suicide as a way of life. So embracing this, the third step concept of approach to this process, right? And beginning to, like, recognize the beauty of becoming me, right? Because on page 17, in closing, on page second step, it says, like, yo, we can profound stuff, right? And I'm talking about how you guys bring it to life. I'm not quoting this just for glamorization. I'm talking this because you guys, being right here, right now, bring it to life. Seeing you, sister, literature says, like, people like you, right? I can relate to where you're from and draw hope from who you're becoming. That's profound. Who speaks these type of words? We're not talking anything of any, because this is a spiritual program. I can identify with your spiritual dilemma, the spiritual discontentment that an addict like me goes through. I can identify where you're coming from, where you say, listen, today I went and picked up my children. I picked up my wick. I picked up my stamps. I went shopping today, Nathan. I took another addict with me to go visit my children. I can relate to this shit, man. I understand the vigilance that it, the dedication, the commitment it takes. Commitment and shared sense of purpose is one of the essential ingredients that ties, bind us together. First tradition, look, I'll be jumping all over because this all connects. This all puts us together, man. This all, because once again, the 12 steps says individually and collectively. Page 113, works on what? Individually and collectively leads to the, it don't say ordinary. The words are selected. People got together and wrote that book. It's not like one person said, I'm going to put. It says individually and collectively contributed to the extraordinary transformation. So in step 3, it talks about how, like, yo, check it out. It says we're making a commitment, page 27, a commitment to our own mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being. Like, I'm describing the transformation as the emotional context of, like, just sitting there in a meeting and hearing the literature being read, internalizing it, right? Because this is what goes on for an addict like me. I couldn't verbally relate to so much stuff, but as I heard it, something in my spirit identified certain key words that I understood just by torturing myself, the torturous existence that I lived. So now being clean, it is such an honor. I jump on the opportunity at every juncture to be of service to somebody else. To try to carry this message, not just by talking it, but by walking this talk. Without any expectation of recognition, we do this. No expectation. I don't look for credit. We don't look for credit. The work that we do unconditionally is priceless. Because at the bottom line, this is always and all about saving lives, not just others. Check it out. Be good to oneself. Saving myself and others in the same breath. The paradox of this program. Can't keep unless I give. In order to receive, I must give. Don't look for blessings, Nathan. Be a blessing. God damn it. That's what we do. At some point in one's life, I look for a way to be a blessing. To forgive in order to be forgiven. On a deep level. Because I remember, I come to meetings regularly to be reminded that I caused so many people. So it says, the literature says, great harm. Wasn't ordinary stuff. It was great harm. The harm, eighth step, said, not said, done, undone, you know, harm. That makes it so difficult for addicts like me to stay here because of the remorse, the guilt, the shame. The fourth step, right? Fourth month, right? Fourth step working guide, right? Page 32-33 has a section talking about shame and guilt. That is real and imagined. For as an addict, it is written in the seven or eighth step working guide how oftentimes addicts like me want to assume responsibility for every fucking thing that's wrong around me. Don't know the difference yet. I need to be guided so that I could just look at the part that I play so I can try to make resolve in the ninth, right? Key elements is to, like, because this is about being good to myself and others. So in the night, like, each step contributes to this stuff, right? And I'm just sharing this with you because you guys show me this stuff. Not just quoting it, I see it. Not necessarily in you walking it, but in your eye, on the sweat of your brow. Knowing that the only requirement, and that's what we, like, I desire. That's all, not just to stop using. Yeah, great, fine, wow. All right. I try to make it a commitment once a month to take my wife to the movies or take her out from time to time. And I take my children with me once in a while. And I try to do it every once a month, right? And I heard an addict say that in the meeting. I have a position in society where I'm of service to 18, 19, 21-year-old boys who have been like us in the beginning, right? Neglected, abused, disowned, deprived, right? I don't even find it necessary to, like, raise my voice at them, so to speak. Just tell them, like, I've been there, I've done that. It hurt. It was painful. I suffered. You don't have to do that. Don't walk that path. But if you choose to, know that there's a way out. I don't break my anonymity to them that way, right? Not yet. Because we can't deny them their pain, right? The temptation to give advice is great. When we do, we lose their respect. I do this, and not just talking about them, but my children as well. Because my children, they seem to, like, give me the pretense that they're angels in my face. But I know, they just like, you know, I know. Most of us don't have to think twice. They can't pimp me today either. If I say no, it knows the spiritual principle today. It is an honor to come here and to be asked. Our literature talks about in the 12th step, page 120, it is our purpose, and it is a privilege. to carry this message to anyone expressing a desire to receive it. No, it is an honor and a privilege. Like, I humble myself before you. I love you guys. Page 100, basic text, right? New frontiers are open when we learn how to love this way. Because when I first came to these rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, and they still say it, or they still express it, we'll love you until you learn how to love yourself. And this type of love is like, it's precious. It's sacred. I call my sponsor regularly. I love him. I love everybody who I meet in this process and in the world. Learned that here, to be of service, you know. And the things that I do, like most of you guys, like most of us do, is like unconditional. There's no strings attached. No, we don't do it for a price. I went to hospitals and institutions last night, and I just had to take one look in them guys' eyes, and words could not express. Tears did. Tears of joy. Like, I identified you guys just sitting there hungry for, like, an alternative, a way out, an alternate route. I'm just grateful that, like, God allows us to be vehicles, right? It was something I want. As recovering addicts, we come to know gratitude. And as our defects are removed, we become free to be all that we can. We emerge as new individuals with an awareness of ourselves and our ability to take our place in the world. But what I wanted to share before I close is, like, there was something I read that pertained to this topic. And I like sharing this literature with you guys, especially if you're new. Because if you read it, you'll find your own interpretation and identification in it. Page 83, it works on why 8 steps says there's a higher power in our lives. Listen, higher power in our lives, preparing us. There's a higher power in our lives, preparing us to be of service to others. The evidence of this high, and this is a spiritual program. I'm not talking about God is going to resurrect nothing, huh? Because we resurrect one another. We resuscitate one another. We revive one another, huh? We renew one another by regularly, repetitiously making meetings. There's a higher power working in our lives, preparing us to be of service to others. The evidence of this power is in our changing attitudes and actions. We're developing the ability to choose spiritual principles over character defects and recovery over addiction. We have a fresh appreciation on life today, and we know we are responsible for what we do. We no longer hold constant regret over the harm we caused in the past, Nathan. Just simply understanding how badly I hurt some motherfucking body. And letting them know of my desire to make things right. This is a get right program, newcomer. Because what repetitiously reveals itself is like you want to get right with yourself. And when I look in the mirror today, I look back and I say, you this good dude. I like this guy. He gets up. He shows up. He's a good dude. You're worthy. You deserve. You're entitled. You're good people. Simply knowing, letting people know of our desire. That's all. Just about our desire to make things right is some of the keys to freedom from the past. Though we may not make a lot of peace with others, we come a long way with making peace with ourselves. This is the essence of loving oneself and being of service to loving others. I'm Nathan, I'm an addict, and I'd like to thank you all.
Thank you very much. Nathan. Let's thank Nathan from Brooklyn for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Joey D. from Nirvana.
Yay! I'm an addict. My name is Joey. I'd like to welcome everyone to CPRCNA. That's a tough act to follow there, man. You know, I got that literature. That literature's up here, man. As soon as I get up here, it doesn't come out. You know, what comes out, it comes from here for me. You know, I was driving up first. First off, let me get the credentials out of the way. My clean date's June 21st, 2001. My home group, Rose Hill Recovery. Oh, did you say speak up? What? Okay. All right. My home group, Rose Hill Recovery, we meet at 8 o'clock on Tuesday in the Norvana area. As I was driving up here, there's a sponsee I got. He's got like 5 years clean. Stopped going to meetings. Comes over my house. We watch UFC from time to time. But he doesn't go to meetings anymore. And he comes to my house. He's like, I want a 5-year bi-metal medallion, you know, the bi-color medallion. I want like a blue and a black one. Can you get that for me? I'm like, yeah, let me think about that. So I walk upstairs. I come back down. I say, here you go. Just so happens I had one upstairs. He looks at me. You know how sponsees do. They look at you like you got three heads, like, you know, and I give it to him, right? And I felt funny about giving him this medallion because here he's shoplifted this message, man. The only thing I've ever asked of my sponsees is that they pay it forward, right? Is that they take the message that's carried to them and they carry it to someone else. That's what this fellowship is all about, right? So as I'm driving up here, he shoots me this text. And you know, this ties into the topic, and I'm going to jump right into the topic because I've tried working up to that before. And I'm telling you, for me, 20 minutes isn't enough time. You know, it says, travel safe today. Tell everyone I wish I was there with you guys. I'll definitely miss being there and break a leg at your workshop. I said, thanks. Love you lots. He said, love you too. You should also know that even though we don't talk that often, you are still a huge positive force in my life. I often think of talks we've had when things aren't going well. I could never repay you for the things you have given me. That was at 8:30 this morning. That, you know what? That's what this is all about, man. I don't put any criteria on what I give to people. Man, just to know that I made a difference in one addict's life is what this is all about. You know, when I think of this topic, you know what comes to my mind is love. You know what? When I got here, I didn't know anything about love. When I was little, right, I knew I had to have something different. I thought I found it in drugs. You know, 4-step, step working guide talks about the seeds of addiction were planted long before I ever picked up a drug, right? And I knew I was different. So when I got here, and they said the good news is you never have to use drugs again. They said the bad news is the drugs weren't your problem, you know? And so I had to get in touch with the steps. Man, it's important that I mention the steps. I'm a firm believer that if I'm not working the steps, then my disease is working me, right? It's a 12-step fellowship. I've worked 45 steps with a sponsor during this time that I've been in this fellowship. You know, I have an NA sponsor who's here, so I'll keep it real, who has an NA sponsor, who has an NA sponsor, you know. I have sponsees here. Thank you guys for showing up, supporting me. And this program works, man. That's the bottom line. You know, the thing about love is, like, when I got here with a lot of bad information. The information that I had was that streetwise information, you know. And I got clean in Baltimore, and I used to go to this Hamilton Noon group, and there was this guy there, right? He would share, right? And you know, man, when you're new, I know you guys know, everybody's got one of them people in their home group, like they got that catchphrase. Like one person might say, and you'll be sitting there counting them, and then after the meeting, you'll go up to your homie, you go, yeah, he said it 47 times that time. He said, no, I got 50, you know, and so like this guy, right, his catchphrase was, tell your own story. And I'd be like, that guy's crazy, man. Because it would come out like he'd be in the middle of one sentence and then it'd be, tell your own story, and then right back to the sentence. And I was like, man, you know how it is when you're new. When you're new, all you hear is blah, 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 blah. Man, because you can't identify with the people who got time. Right? So, like, you know, now, like, hear this. If you're new here and all you hear is keep coming back, please keep coming back. You need to hear what you need to hear when you're ready to hear it. Right? And I'm speaking from that, from my own experience. And what that individual carried to me at that moment was that my own story is what keeps me clean. Right? My own story tells me that I can't use drugs successfully. Why? Because I've tried. Well, maybe if I start on Thursday, I'll be able to stop on Sunday. All right. Well, maybe if I give my credit card to somebody else, you know, I've tried all the changing, the rearranging shit. It doesn't work. What I've learned is if I don't start, now hear this, because this is deep and profound, right? If I don't start, I don't have to stop. Wow. Isn't that deep? I don't know. When I was new, nobody told me that, right? Well, if they did, it went right over my head, and that's where I'm going back. You'll hear what you need to hear when you're ready to hear it. Because for real, in the first 30 days, I heard everything that I needed to hear for my entire time of being in recovery. You know, my first convention was Free State Region Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. That was back when they had it in Hunt Valley, you know. So it was like 15 years ago. I was living in the basement of my mother's house. Couldn't get clean. Had like 4 days clean. I went to this convention. Didn't know anybody. Didn't want to be there. The only reason I was there is because my mom paid for my registration. The disease, man, was working on me. I was in a room full of people, yet I felt alone. Right? And I isolated myself. The goal of my disease is isolation. It wants to isolate me from people. And how it normally does that is through anger. Right? And so, like, I was just isolating myself from the group because I felt uncomfortable. Right? Because the disease of addiction was talking to me. Right? My disease talks to me, and the God of my understanding talks to me. Right? But they talk to me in the same voice. It's hard to determine who's talking to me. It's like, where do I determine where this information is coming from? Is it good information? Is it bad information? Well, in the beginning, it's hard to determine that. And I'm at this convention, and I'm feeling left out. Why? Because I'm in the back. I'm not in the center of this. Man, I watch a lot of Mutual of Omaha shows, and I got this analogy like lions, right? Lions, they hunt in packs, right? And what they'll do, they'll go after gazelles, you know, the lucky gazelles hopping around, you know, just eating its grass or whatever they do, right? So the lions, right? The lions will come after them because they hunt in packs and they charge the pack, right? And what happens is the weak, the old, get separated from the pack because they can't keep up. And what happens? They get eaten alive, right? The analogy there is a disease is the lion, right? The circle is the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. The weak and the old is a newcomer who step out trying to work their own program. You know what? I'm a firm believer that this program works. The fellowship is infallible. It's the fellows in the ship you got to worry about, you know? So, like, and everybody, look, okay, being good to yourself and others. When I first got clean, man, I got here with, like, the mentality, like, I need to treat myself. My outward appearance was a reflection of how I felt inwardly, right? And that's how I thought. So if I dress up the outside, you people who look at me would see the outside and see that, you know, I got it going on the outside and would think that I had it going on the inside too, right? I mean, I used to think that. When I gravitated towards the people in my neighborhood who had the flashy cars, the girls, the gold, the jewelry, you know, the not full of cash, they were the people that I aspired to. I didn't aspire to the spiritual people, you know, in my neighborhood who were saying, you got to give it away to keep it. I'm like, what? That just didn't make sense to me, right? So I aspired to have things, right? Because I thought that things would make me feel okay. Now, what I found out, and I'll tie this up quicker, is I'm constantly reaching outside of myself to fix something that's broken on, okay, not broken, I was corrected today, that's misguided on the inside, right? So I made a commitment to myself, and you know, this topic, being good to yourself, this is my journey, right? It is like, I believe that, like there's two feelings, right? Love and fear. And everything else stems from that, right? So in the beginning, I had to learn how to love myself. Because the way the principles work is I have to have them internally before you can see them externally. And the amount of love I have for myself is directly proportional to the amount of love I can have for the person on the outside. Right? So when I got here and I started working some steps, and I said to myself, like, yeah, I got all my shit out of pawn because that was part of my story. You know, my shit would go in pawn, it would come out, and depending on what I had, determine how I felt. Right? So I was like, I'll work a step, I'll go buy a piece of jewelry. And that's how I rewarded myself. And I've always been like, I've been blessed to have good jobs, so I had good jewelry, right? You know, I'd buy like the Guido 72 gram chain. I had the 1 ounce bracelet. You know, I was rolling deep, man. You know? You know, when I walked in, man, I had like 3-4 ounces of gold on me. You know, because that was important. I wanted you to look at me from the outside and say, you know what, that guy, he's got it going on. And then what happened, right? Funny thing happened the way these steps work. The necessary preparation for the work on any steps is the work on the preceding steps, right? So I was going down the daily grind in Fells Point, running around down there. And you know, after the meeting, we would go down to Fells Point, hang out at the coffee shop, hoot and holler at the girls, crack on the guys, right? And I reached a level where I started to do some work on myself, and that wasn't okay with me anymore. You know, so I started to get a little uncomfortable about that, but I wasn't ready to change yet. But what I was ready to do was commit to this thing called recovery. You know, because I could see that the people who were working this thing, they had something. And what they had, I wanted, right? And I put that correlation together real quick, that the people who were working the steps were moving away from the materialistic. And what I didn't know what they were moving to at the time, but they were moving towards the spiritualistic, right? And so I worked the 4-step, and I sat down and did a 5th step with my sponsor, and it came time, I was like, the commitment was up, that I could, okay, be like reintegrated into society and go down to the daily grind, and I no longer wanted to do that again. I no longer wanted to be a part of that crowd. And you know why? Because that crowd was a crowd of newcomers who I related to with, right? And they were... they were doing the things that I was comfortable with, that I was comfortable growing up doing, right? But this program, it's about stepping outside the box, right? Now, the box for me is my comfort level, right? And my comfort level comes from here, right? And my experience of doing things. But this program doesn't work. I don't have any experience of what I haven't experienced with. So I got to put my faith in NA and somebody who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery, right? So I started to do some work on myself. I'm going to have to jump into this topic, man, because I cash for gold. All right, funny thing happened, man. As I worked up through the steps, man, I had 4 years clean, and I saw this cash for gold thing on TV. Right? And I'm like, and I reached a level where I put it together where, you know what, this is an inside job. I don't have to dress up the outside for you. I got to feel good about me, right? And if I feel good about me, you know what, for real, that's all that matters, right? Because the cuppeth will flow over to the next person, right? So the cash for gold, I packed up my cash, my gold, and I turned it in. All that, man. And man, that was a major step for me. Because I was saying, you know what? This got me up to a point in my life. But you know what? I don't need to be that person anymore. And I sent that gold off, and I got $1,800, and I put it towards something else. Now I got like one watch. I wear one watch. You won't see me with gold. I even got a tattoo ring, wedding ring. Yeah? Hey, I'm simple, man, because I don't need that. I don't need you to look at me to determine how, if I feel love for myself. I don't need to search outside of myself because I found it on the inside. Karma. Man, I'm a firm believer in karma. I believe through my experience that what I put out in the world, I will get back. Right? So what I put out is I give this away, just freely give away what I've been given. You know, and nothing better than seeing a sponsee who can't get clean, right? I got some stories with people in here, and I can't even share them. I got to respect their anonymity. Let's just say this, right? To go from confusion, right? The confusion part. And to move from that confusion into the maybe this will work for me too part to it is working for me part. To be a part of that process is second to my own recovery. Man, the greatest gift I've been given, the miracle occurred in my life that the obsession to use drugs was lifted. You know what? I didn't come here to stop using drugs. I came here to figure out how to use drugs successfully. Because that euphoric feeling that I get from drugs, it's better than sex. It's better than anything I've ever experienced in my life. You know what that I found that's better than that is love. And I found that in this program. You know, when I got here, I was confused about love. I didn't know what love was, right? Like, as a young child, I felt unloved. You know, I talked about the seeds. I'm going to get to one of my seeds, right? As a young child, my mother was giving me the type of love that she felt like I needed, right? And I was looking for the type of love that I felt like I needed, and therefore I felt unloved, right? You know what? I didn't say my mother didn't love me. She was giving me the type of love that she felt like I needed, right? So as a young child, I felt unloved, you know? And that's where the disease started and manifested itself in my life, you know? So what happened was, like, February 26th, my dad died, right? Now, my dad, he was an addict. Man, he was an addict. He left when I was three, but not before molesting my two sisters. You know, my mother raised me and my two sisters. You know, and you know what? I don't even know why I'm getting choked up because I haven't even cried yet, but that's part of the process. So, like, the first time I did my eighth step, right? I met my dad because he was on my list. He was on my list for the ninth step. And I drove up to Baltimore, and I met with him. And you know, I introduced him to my wife and my son that I adopted, right? But I didn't say the words, man. I didn't say the words that I needed to say that first time. So I had to go back the second time I did my eighth step, with 7 years clean. And I had to go back and I had to say the words. Mm-hmm. Man, and you guys, you know what the words are. You know, the words are like, I'm sorry for the way that I treated you. Right? Right? Because now, as an addict, I know what the struggles are. Right? And who am I to judge? I'm not God. 5 minutes. Man, time flies. I'm like hitting second gear. Damn, I got a long list here. All right, so man, I'll cut that story short. I worked 8 hours on a Monday. I went to school for 4 hours after work. And I went up to, my dad was dying in a hospice. I went up there. They said he's probably not going to make it through the week, right? So I went up there. And he was in and out of consciousness. I didn't even have to say nothing, man. I just told him I loved him and that I was there. And that he didn't have to be afraid, right? Because the nurses told me, he said he's afraid to die, you know? And you know what? That's what love is about. It's about showing up for people, right? But look, I can't show up for people if I'm not right in the first place. So I had to show up for myself before I was capable to show up for somebody else. So I sat there, man, and I prayed over his body, man. You know, he was still in there at the time, but I prayed. And you know what? It wasn't a selfish prayer. It was a prayer. It was like, God, take him. Take him now. Because I didn't want him to die alone, you know? And that's not the first time I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer over my mother like 5 years ago, right? God wasn't done with her yet. She just celebrated 38 years in the other fellowship, you know, on March 28th, you know? So where I'm going with that is I'm trying to get across the feelings of love that I have for other people that started internally, you know? Like I said earlier, I have to have it internally till you see it externally. Where do I get it? I get it through the step work. Man, you know, I got to share this and I shut up. They called me up to do this workshop, and they said, you got a sponsor. I was like, yeah, I got a sponsor. And then, okay, well, we want you to do, they asked me like three questions. That was one question. I was like, well, I got a sponsor, but I don't use them. I got a sponsor, but I haven't done any steps with him. And I was like, that didn't feel okay with me. You know, like my last sponsor, I did 22 steps with. I was with for 7 years. And he moved out of the area, right? And I asked this individual to be my sponsor, but like I was having a hard time reconnecting and making that commitment and that effort to moving forward with that relationship. Right? Putting in the time, effort, tension that's needed to move forward in any relationship. So when they said that, you know, the next day I called that individual back and I said, you know, I don't know where we stand, but will you be my sponsor? And he's like, of course I'll be your sponsor. He said, you're my kind of guy. I'm like, all right, so what do we do? And then we're starting this rolling again. I'm making this commitment to work through this process again, man. It's never over. My involvement in NA has like dwindled to the, you know, what's that, the balance in the scales, May 11th, it talks about, right, in the Just for Today. Well, that's my process. When I first got here, this is where NA was, and my life was here because I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. You know, and now that I've got the car, I got the you know, 3-bedroom house, I got the car that has heated seats, you know, why, I don't know, it's important for my ass to be warm, but I don't know, you know, I got all those outwardly signs of success that people would say, you know, he's got it, right? But you know what attracts the people that are in my life is what I got on the inside. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Joey G for sharing. We'd like to close the meeting with a serenity prayer. Thank you both for sharing. God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
A fellow named Randy Cherylstein from Baltimore. He died 7-8 years ago.
You know where he went? What meetings or anything?
He was from Owens Mills.
Awesome. Reisterstown Road up in there. I only knew one guy, Dave Green, from up there. Dave?
I know I met the man. I can't remember his face, but I remember the name. I met that man. Yeah, I used to come down every year to that Free State Convention for years and years. And years.
It's not the same down Inner Harbor. I don't know.
When you said a lot of things, it's just like, I couldn't help remembering them, you know. I miss him. I miss going down to Baltimore. It's like even when you said the fear and the love, you know, he taught me that through doing step work. It's like, I'm from Pennsylvania, and there's very few. There really ain't anybody up there that teaches that. It's like I teach you how to step over with my guys. Yeah, so it's just kind of refreshing to hear that. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Hope you have a good week.
Sure, you too. Dude, we're going to go for the property.